Hallelujah. You know, I heard somebody say that it was on a Sunday night that Jesus went through the wall, came through the wall after his resurrection, and appeared to those that were gathered and to Thomas. He wasn't there that night, you see. But Thomas was missing on a Sunday night. So, anyways, we'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock. So we hope to see everybody here. And I do have a message for tonight as well. I don't know what it is yet until I look. It's called Sowing in Hope. Sowing in Hope. So anyways, praise God. Thanks for coming today. Happy Mother's Day indeed. You know, we are blessed. I'm blessed. My mom is still around. She is 87. Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think she's 80. No, she's 88. Yeah. And my dad is 87. He's around too. Yeah. So praise God for that. And we have to do mail order flowers, of course. She's in Vermont, all the way in Vermont in the East Coast. So, but you know what? I'm really blessed to have my mom, the mom that I had when I was growing up. And not just when I was growing up, but at different times in my life, I knew I can confide in my mom, you know. And, in fact, at their house, the phone rings all the time. It rings all the time because they know that they have a friend with my mom and that a lot of people who are grieving or going through difficult times will call her. And she's always been there, you know. And a godly woman, you know, loves the Lord. And so I know that we gave her a really hard time, Bruce and I, tag teaming together growing up back in the 70s, yeah. But my God's been faithful. You know, he's been there all along, and I'm just grateful for his mercy and that his love broke through. And you know the word you gave this morning about the veil. The veil needs to be rent in the hearts of people before they can even be receptive. And, you know, Jesus spoke about the soil, you know, the soil types of the heart. And if your heart is hardened or indifferent, then there will be no penetration of the truth. And without the truth, there's no life. So God has to break up the fallow ground, if you will, of the heart. He has to plow up the soil of the heart. And he does that often through adversity and difficulties to bring us to a place where we become desperate enough to say, God, help! Amen. And that's when his mercy and his grace is extended to us in the hour when we are humble enough to realize that we need God. And before I was very proud and self-sufficient. And God's been working on that for many years and bring me to a place where I know without him, really, I can't do anything. I cannot be who I'm called to be without his grace. And if I don't humble myself, I'm not going to receive the grace I need to help me. And so it's good to be in a place where you know you need God. Because truth be said, we were created for God. We were made for him. And so to live without your creator, without a relationship with him, is to live dysfunctionally. And when you're used to living dysfunctionally, it becomes normal after a while. And only the Lord can make the dysfunctional functional again. Amen? He loves us. He gave himself for us. He paid the price for us. He's opened the heavens to us. He's inviting us to come with confidence before his throne of grace. All that we have need of is freely given to us in Christ. He has made available to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So there's no excuse. We just need to come to him, amen, and call on his name. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk about the impact of a godly mother. Each one of us are influencers in our lives. You are going to influence somebody in your life. That's either going to be for negative or for positive. Amen. But we are influencers. Somebody is influenced by our example, by the way that we live our lives. And God has given us parents, amen, and they are a gift, and so are children. But the Bible says that all souls belong to the Lord. So even your children, amen, they first belong to the Lord. And the best thing you can do with your children is to dedicate or to give your children back to God. Amen. Because God will keep that which is committed to Him. He can guard, He can protect even through some very difficult times. Today, we're going to celebrate Mother's Day. Amen. Well, we set one day aside a year to do this. But how many know, guys, it's a good idea to have Mother's Day every day? Amen. Amen. To treat your wife, to love and respect her every day, to honor her. And, you know, God actually commands. It wasn't a suggestion, but He commands us to honor our mother and our father. It's a commandment with promise. Moses gave these instructions from the Lord concerning their treatment of their parents in Deuteronomy 5:16. How many know this? Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you. Oh, there's a promise. In the land which the Lord your God is giving you. In Ephesians 6 and 2, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And the word honor means to prize or fix a valuation upon. So what is the promise? Look at verse 3. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So a child who honors his parents has a promise of long life. That it may be well with them. God is the ultimate authority. He has all authority. Amen? And so as the head, as the Lord is the head of His church and has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, so He has delegated authority to parents to take authority in their homes. Amen? And to have authority over their children within their homes. So the child is not to be running the parents, amen? The parents are supposed to be controlling, if you will, the child, right? Being an example to that child, disciplining that child, teaching, training that child in the way that he should go. Be an example in everything they do and say. God has delegated authority to the parents and given us a responsibility for our children, to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And God has given commandment. And kids, there's one commandment specific to you. And that is what we just read. Honor your mother and your father. If you can do that, you're doing well. Because God has given them to you to take care of you, to provide for you, to protect you, to train you, and prepare you for adulthood. And there are no perfect parents here. And so your parents are going to make mistakes. Irregardless. If we look in the mirror long enough, we'll realize there's a few imperfections there too. So it doesn't matter whether you have perfect parents or not. The Bible says to obey them in all things, that it may go well with you and you may live long upon the earth. This is a promise from God. You want God's favor, God's blessing in your life? Then honor your mother and your father and your mother. And this is the first commandment with promise. And by the way, there's no age limit set to that. Amen? Well, I'm out of here. Well, no, you're not actually. You may leave the home, but they're still your authority. Amen? And if you come back under the roof, you're under their authority there again. Amen? Hallelujah. Most mothers deserve to be honored. I mean, they have a tremendous responsibility. You know, I think occasionally I like to watch this show about this couple that are reenactors of the a household in the early 1800s and how life was back then. And, you know, you think you got it bad? Or you think it got it hard? Go back when there was no running water or electricity, or it was down to the creek to wash the clothes. And you know, even when I was in Korea, there a lot of them that were still doing that. They were taking the, you know, the washboards and the paddles and going down to the water and washing their clothes right there. And everything was done manually. And even a lot of their water had to be pumped by hand, right? And so a mother's responsibility was even more difficult then than it is now. But still, there are a lot of pressures because there is a lot of responsibility given to moms. But a great mom has a good impact upon her family. Mothers are influential, are they not? How many here can say that I've benefited from my mom? All right, we'll just leave it at that. Someone said the man may be the head of the home, but the wife or mother is the heart. You heard that one before? Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it doesn't matter what you're seeing right now. When you plant seed, you don't see an immediate harvest. Amen. But a farmer who is faithful to plant and to water and to nurture, amen, eventually will reap what he's sown. So we continue to sow into the lives of others, amen, and into our children. And by the way, as parents, we cannot afford to turn the training of our children over to the school system. All right? Or even to, or solely to the church programs. Amen? The child is your responsibility. God has given you authority in the home. And that means you need to have discipline in your home. Amen? You won't hurt the child if you discipline them the right way in love. Amen? Knowing that if you don't stop them when they're young from misbehaving, they will never learn self-discipline as an adult. Amen? And the same one that's throwing the fit in Walmart, amen, becomes an adult, and now they're throwing a fit in the city. Are you hearing me? Because of a lack of discipline, because somehow people thought they had a better idea than the Word of God, and that I don't really need to discipline my children. I just negotiate. I'll tell you what, negotiating looked like in my home. It was the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. Amen? How many would agree with me that it's important that you teach your children why? Amen? Amen? That they do understand why. Just because I told you so, that's not a good answer. Amen? You need to let your children know why. Because you care, you love them. Amen? You're not going to let them go to hell. Hallelujah. I know my mom prayed for me a lot. And I know there was times I tried to do something and I couldn't because of her prayers. Ever feel that way? Ever have parents like that? All of a sudden you were really trying to get away with something and somehow it got just disrupted. And I think it was a lot had to do with the prayers of my mom. Amen. But we need to deposit the right things into our children. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So we have to ask the question, what am I sowing into my children? You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And, you know, the mother that constantly yells and nags and criticizes versus the mother who blesses and encourages and disciplines and builds up her children to be godly men and women. I've known people, I've witnessed firsthand where people have been very harsh on their children, overly harsh, constantly criticizing them, and hardly ever saying anything positive or anything that would encourage them in the right direction, to where the children become bitter. And they begin to actually, it actually has the opposite effect. And I've seen them, they got so discouraged because they tried, but they could never please the parent. And finally, they just went into rebellion. And yes, some children are going to rebel anyways, but you continue to sow into their hearts and water that seed and nourish them. You set an example for them when they're growing up. Amen. And they will have that standard, that foundation. Amen. And they can know who to turn to when they need help. Hallelujah. So you're going to either sow life or sow death. And your words are powerful. They are spiritual in nature. And they can build or they can destroy. So we need to be very careful when we're angry that we control our anger by calling on the Holy Spirit. Amen. To grant me grace, Lord, to be careful about what I say so I don't destroy my child in a fit of anger. Amen. Now we see the impact of, I always like to talk about Timothy. And his mother, you know, and grandmother had such an impact on his life. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 1, it says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. He's saying, listen, the example that your grandmother and your mother set, amen, has had an impact in your life. And the same is true today. If we're sowing the right seeds into our children, you know, you have to be deliberate about this. How many know that you're having a tug of war, amen, with the world? Amen, and all the garbage that they're trying to feed our children today, the wokeism and all that. That we have to be teaching our children, guys. We can't leave it up to the school to have prayer, by the way. If you teach your children, if you're having prayer at home, amen, you teach your children to pray, amen. Well, that's their responsibility before God. Amen. I mean, I'm all for prayer in school, but guys, it's not like we're going to leave it up to the school. Amen. To pray for our kids. Amen. To turn out okay. That's our responsibility as parents. Amen. To pray for our children. Amen. And to teach our children how to pray. Amen. They don't need the school's permission to pray. God says to pray. Amen. So any law that contradicts the word of God is illegal. There is the ultimate authority of God. Amen. He has all authority. The good news is, even though all of us have made mistakes, I regret sometimes being overly harsh with my own daughter. But the good news is that there is redemption. There is healing. There's forgiveness in the Lord. Amen. There's restoration in the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what God does. He restores lives. Amen. Every one of us here have been hurt by words. Amen. And we've hurt people with words. And when God in his mercy forgave us, so we need to also show the same mercy, the same grace to people that have hurt us. Could you say amen to that? We follow the example of our Lord. But those who've had godly mothers have benefited from their example and even the words that were spoken into their lives. Because of the investment of Timothy's mother and his grandmother, and also the Apostle Paul had invested in Timothy. Timothy led many souls to the Lord and made many disciples for Jesus. What we deposit in our kids is something that should empower them. You know, guys, you can give your kids everything they want, but you can lose them. You can give them everything this world has to offer, but lose their soul. So it's very important that we are depositing the right things into our children. And we're teaching them, amen, how to be a responsible adult. That means that we are depositing something in them that will empower them, amen, to be responsible. You've heard the term, you can give a man a fish or you can teach a man how to fish. Amen. A responsible parent will teach their child how to fish and not constantly give them the fish. There comes a time when you need to pull the bottle out. Amen. And you need to put a fork in their hand and say, here, start practicing. Start feeding yourself. Amen. Hey, guess what? It's time for you to learn how to use an alarm clock and get up out of bed. Amen. And not rely upon me getting you up. All right. That's responsibility. So you can be to school on time, because whatever you do in the natural is to be a reflection, amen, of your walk with the Lord. We are an example, amen, in this world. We are influencers in this world, and we're influencing somebody. And whatever we do in word or deed, we should do all to the glory of God. Amen. As God's people, we should be responsible. Amen. Amen. We should be trustworthy, dependable, because we represent the Lord. And we honor His name by the way we live our lives in the world. Can you say amen? Amen. You want to deposit something in your children that will enable them to fulfill the will of God in their lives. Here's some good things to sow. You want to know good seed to sow? How about the Word of God? Amen? Can't get any better than the truth, right? Truth arms your children. It actually empowers them. It arms them to battle against darkness. You need to teach your children who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them and the authority that they have in the Lord. Are you hearing me? So they're not being pushed around. They're not being intimidated by darkness. But if anything, the light, amen, will expose the darkness. The light will always overcome the darkness. And we need to empower our children by teaching them the truth that they are more than conquerors through Him who loved them and gave Himself for them, and that the Lord would never leave them nor forsake them. The Lord would be faithful to help them through their lives. If they would learn how to acknowledge Him in all their ways, He would be faithful to direct their path. Amen? We need to train up our children the way they should go, by an example, first from us, amen, and then giving them practical things to work out in their lives. Giving them, teaching them responsibility. Hallelujah. We want to see our kids do well, don't we? Truth will also keep your children free from demonic influences. Darkness, right? It's a roadmap so that they can reach their destiny in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, three things will last forever. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So the Lord's love, amen, is the greatest of the graces. Why? Because it's not self-centered. We want to teach our children to love, to give, to bless, amen, and not just be the sole recipient, not have an entitlement attitude, amen, understanding that it's by the grace of God we are who we are today. It's by the mercy of God that we are saved, amen, and kept. We don't deserve what Jesus did for us. Can you say amen to that? Another important seed, of course, is to sow faith, right? Faith comes by the truth, all right? It's teaching your children that all things are possible with God. Faith is demonstrated by trusting in the Lord, learning how to trust the Lord. So guess what? The kids are seeing, they're witnessing, observing how we handle situations. They're learning by our example. And so if we are easily falling apart under a little pressure, guess what? Our children are learning that it's okay to lose my temper or to lose my cool or to spout out or to use profanity. Amen. All these things that if we don't guard ourselves, we could easily give ourselves over to. How many know our children need to know that we are praying? Amen. And that we teach them how to pray, that we pray with our children, that we invest in them the Word of God, we invest in them the truth, amen, and teach them once again, empower them so that they can enforce the victory in their own lives. Get to a point where they become mature believers and don't have to depend on somebody else, but they can learn to depend upon Jesus. Amen. They see how you handle challenges in your life. You know, if we're always whining and complaining, worrying, that's another one. Chewing our nails. Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Faith is a substance. Hebrews 11:1, right? Of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Once again, faith has what? Substance. And it has evidence. New Living Translation says faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So we need to be sowing hope. Amen? Faith and love and hope, right, into our children. Hope is a word that speaks of looking into the future with a sense of expectancy. All right? Webster says it's to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into what? This grace in which we stand. Access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That's what? We come to Him. We call upon Him. We come into His presence. We pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. In which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Do what? Rejoice in hope in the glory of God. Of the glory of God. So hope is having a positive and optimistic expectation for the future. Gloom, despair, agony on me. Hope is having a positive or optimistic expectation for the future. That's why the enemy's always trying to rob you, first of all, your faith, so that he can get to your hope. Because without hope, you lose the battle. Amen? We enjoy access into the throne of our Father. Amen. We have favor with God because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything we need is freely given to us. Amen. We are accepted in Christ because of what Christ did for us on our behalf, because of the blood of Jesus. My confidence is not in my ability to be good, but in God's goodness that leads me to repentance, to turn away from sin, and to the only one that can save me and rescue me and empower me to live a godly life. By the Holy Spirit, and not of me, but of Him and His grace, I can overcome the world. We have hope for the future because we have the Lord, the God of hope, dwells in us. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living. There's hope. Amen? Because He lives. Hallelujah. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy are my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. I'll spare you the dance part. Okay. You got joy in the Lord? You got Jesus, you have joy. You need to learn how to draw from the resources of His joy in you. Amen? You have to declare it in your life. Speak the word of God, amen, faith comes by hearing, and you can even speak in your own hearing and encourage yourself in the Lord based upon the promise of God. Amen. When I feel alone, I just remind myself, thank you, Lord, you've promised that you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Most importantly, guys, we need to be sowing the seeds of love and compassion into our children. Amen. And that, most importantly, by our example. How many know allowing your children to do whatever they want, whenever and however, is not really loving them? You have to love your children enough to sometimes, amen, discipline them to get the point across that they understand that there are consequences for bad decisions. Because if they don't learn that when they're young, they become an adult that becomes lawless. And they end up in the clinker. Are you hearing me? because they're uncontrolled. They've never learned self-control because they have not been disciplined by the parents. Are you hearing me? So we love our children enough to discipline them. You can't be their buddy. You are an authority. You are their parents. I know, I got a little quieter when I said that. But you can be a friend with your child, amen, but they have to understand, just like Jesus is our ultimate authority, but he can also be our friend, but you still respect and know that he is the master, that he is the Lord, amen, and he has all authority, hallelujah. And so I walk carefully with the Lord because I know that I'm responsible before him. So you love your children, and your children will learn that there is protection at home. There is the comfort of your protection because you have trained them, that you will stand up for them, that you will defend your child, that you would even give your life for your child. And they know that my mom, my dad are there for me. Are you hearing me? Just like we said the other day, out on the playground, my dad will beat your dad up. And we need to say that to the devil. It's like, my dad will beat you up. Amen. Don't mess with me. Hallelujah. Here's love. You ready for this? 1 Corinthians 13:4. I'm not going to read it all, but verse 4 says, love is patient. Love is kind, and it's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. I love this. Never loses faith, is always hopeful. And what? Endures through every circumstance. How many know that the Lord is merciful and long-suffering? That the Lord is patient with us? That the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance? He's giving people more opportunity to be saved right now. Amen? And the time is coming when the door of opportunity will close. Today is the day of opportunity for you and for me to be saved, to repent, to get our hearts right with God. Amen. Because the day will come when the door will close and there will be those that will knock and say, Lord, Lord, open to us, but it will be too late. How many know that God is being very patient with you, patient with me right now, and giving people in this world an opportunity to be saved? We should be sowing the seeds of personal responsibility and also a strong work ethic. My dad taught me when we were growing up that, you know what, I'll help you with certain things. You want to buy something? Get a job. And he also gave me some chores to do, some extra things that I do around the house, right? And I get a little pay for that. So he's teaching me responsibility. Amen? And then, you know, if he saw that we were doing a really good job, we had a good attitude about it, then he helped me out, even with purchasing the thing that I wanted, you know. Except he never did get us a mini bike. I'm still traumatized by that, but yeah. Dad, if you're listening, I love you. See, he was teaching us responsibility. He's also teaching us that you don't get everything you want in life. We should also be sowing the seeds of, again, of personal responsibility. So moms, let me just say this to you. I know there must have been times when my mom was about ready to throw in the hat. But she never gave up on us. She continued to pray. She continued to believe God. And there's a promise in Psalms 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And in verse 6, it says, he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Continue to sow in the Spirit. Sow into your children. Sow into one another. Amen? And the day comes when that which you have invested in agreement with the Holy Spirit, according to the will of God, will return. Moms, you know you have a very important role. You can make or break your home. And if you make a mistake, let me just say this. Own it. Dads, if you make a mistake, own it. Amen. We just have to teach our children also that we're responsible for what we do. Amen. And if I mess up, I admit it. All right. And I tell them, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. Here's some instructions to older women and younger mothers in the church. Are you listening? The older women likewise, Titus 2 and 3, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, that means self-controlled, chaste, pure, self-controlled and pure, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, and that the word of God may not be blasphemed. The New Living Translation says similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. Now the Lord will provide or supply all the grace that you need, amen, to be a good mom, a good dad, a good father, a good mother, amen, a good husband, a good wife. God will grant the grace that we need if we will learn to call on him and trust him for it. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says, and God is able to make how much? All grace abound to you. I remember a brother saying one time where a guy said he was struggling with certain addictions. He says, is God weak? I said, well, that's a good question, right? No, you better say he's not weak, right? Well, he's not weak. We're weak, but he's strong. We're weak, but he's able. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or even think, according to his mighty power at work within us. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I can be who God told me to be by his grace, by the strength he supplies me. Verse 4 says, these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Again, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes and to do good and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. Yes, again, 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to do what? Make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. What does it say? That you always have all sufficiency in all things. How much? All sufficiency in all things, and have an abundance for every good work. You know, Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Do you believe that God is able? Yes. Yes. Do you believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Do you believe God has all grace that we need? That his grace is sufficient for us? That we can be good parents, we can be good mothers and fathers, amen, by the grace that God supplies us, because we're relying upon his resources, we're relying upon his grace, his strength in our lives, to be who we're called to be, because apart from him we can do nothing, but all things through Christ, who strengthens us, amen. So yeah, guys, we need to have our confidence in God's promise that he's going to give us everything we need. Amen. So choose your seed carefully. What you sow, you're going to reap. Amen. What you plant will grow. Again, Galatians 6, 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Amen. Praise God that the Holy Spirit can also do the work of rooting out, pulling up by the roots, the bad seed too, amen, and the bad plants within us, amen. So we need to come and be honest before God and confess and renounce our sinful ways. And God will have mercy on us, and God will cleanse us, amen, and God will fill us, and God will raise us up in his strength and his ability, amen, and make us a mighty warrior for him, hallelujah. You and I have been called to enforce the word of God, amen, because Jesus has already conquered sin. Amen. And so you and I are called to enforce that victory in our own lives by faith in the grace of God that is freely given to us in Christ. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So moms, once again, this, I'm going to finish with this. Never quit praying for your kids, all right? It doesn't matter what it looks like. Faith is not living by sight. But amen, but having confidence that God is able to do the impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For all things are possible to them that believe. Do you believe? If you believe, you'll continue to sow the seed of good, amen, into your children. You'll continue to sow the seed of prayer, of love, of faith, amen, of hope into your children. You'll continue to water that. You'll continue to nurture your children. Even if they go astray, amen, the time will come. If you have done what's right in the sight of the Lord, amen, that foundation, that seed will be there. Hallelujah. I'm believing, amen, that things in time are going to be turned for good. Amen. He's able to make something beautiful. He's able to give us beauty for ashes. Amen. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your husband. Don't give up on your wife. Don't give up on your loved ones. God is faithful. Continue to storm heaven. Continue to call upon him. Amen. And every time you're calling on the name of Jesus, the Lord is sending the Spirit. Amen. His Spirit to deal with that person. Amen. And I know sometimes it was like I was so miserable. Because I was under the constant, the Lord was convicting my heart. And finally, I came to the place where I say, okay, Lord, I quit. I give up. I surrender. And I gave my life to Jesus. Amen. And he saved me. He changed me. Amen. He came into my life and made me a new creation. Hallelujah. The veil on my eyes was removed. And now what was before normal was abnormal. And what was abnormal now became my normal. Now I understood why those people were so happy. And while they were shouting praises in church, amen. Hallelujah. And I thought, I'm going to join them now. Hallelujah. Now I get it. The veil has to be torn. And God has a way of doing that. Keep on praying that the Lord's going to plow up the soil of the hearts. Amen. He's going to bring that person to humility. To where they'll come to their place, to the place where they will surrender to Jesus. Pray that the Lord will forgive them. Ask the Lord to forgive them. And then ask the Lord to remove the veil from their eyes. So that they can see. Hallelujah. And don't give up. Because Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap. If we faint not if we don't give up. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm still, guys, I'm still blown away today that God would use me after everything I'd done and everything I'd done before, how God actually saved me, turned my life around, and has allowed me to be his servant today. It still blows my mind. Such mercy, such grace. How many know that God is able to save to the uttermost those who call upon him? Amen. His hand is not short that it cannot save. But he says, but your sins, your iniquities have separated you from your God. If you will be honest with God and confess and renounce your sin, then he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God wants us, amen, to be pure. And only he can make us pure. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse you. You cannot be good enough for God. He makes you good enough for him. Amen. Would you bow your heads? Would you take a moment right now and ask the Lord? Lord, if there's anything in my heart that I need to resolve with you, something I need to confess, something I need to renounce, maybe a besetting sin, something that a habit that I need to get rid of. I need to quit doing this thing I've been doing. I've been caught by this thing. But Lord, I'm asking you right now to give me the grace, Lord. Lord, to be free from all bondage. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. Wash me in your blood. Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Oh, Jesus, we're asking you for help today. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to do a work in every heart here, every life here. Lord, I ask you to purge, Lord, our hearts, cleanse our hearts, purify your people, make us holy for you, empower us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we call upon you, the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask you, Lord, to baptize our hearts with your holy fire. Baptize us with your Holy Spirit and fire. Lord, set our hearts ablaze for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.